You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat. Well,
and good afternoon, Richmond. You are listening to The Defenders Live, and I am your host, Anna Edwards, and today is Monday. Defenders Live is brought to you as a production of The Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality. And you can learn more at defendersfje.org and defendersfje.blogspot.com. If you want to follow this show, please visit the blog at defendersliveradio.blogspot.com. Well, my engineer got me all fired up. I was going to talk about summer reading, but now I think I have to talk about Shaco Bottom. And I know that there are people out there going, oh, no, not again. But I'm sorry. You have to give it to me. You have to give it to all of us who've been working on this for so long to prevent a stadium from being built. And it isn't the stadium. I'll say that again. It isn't just that it's a stadium. It is all of what is planned, you know, along with it, and the fact that they are talking about placing it on top of the oldest part of the city. It is, we have a living, you know, walkable history that can be developed in a way that is not only organic to the businesses and the residents of the area, but also to the history that we are trying to raise up and to preserve. So that which is already there, as well as that which can be alluded to, if you keep it walkable, if you keep it accessible to the population. Okay, so what am I talking about? So since 2004 or 5, we have been presented every 3 or 4 years with the grand scheme of constructing a new baseball stadium in Shaco Bottom, a downtown ballpark is how it's always phrased, and thinking this is going to be the sexiest, hottest, greatest new thing to solve all of the economic development issues and address the vacant land dynamic, which is really only a problem for the landowners, so apologize to you. But for other folks who had been up until that point very steadily moving in building by building and creating businesses, creating residences. You know, we haven't liked all of it, but at least it was organic and seemed to be really taking advantage of the historic resources that were there. And not everything is perfect, and we're not saying that. But all of a sudden, you know, here come people who decide that in one fell swoop with one giant, you know, $365 million check, however they're going to cobble that together, they are going to plop this thing down there and it's going to just take care of everything. Sounds to me like it would knock out opportunities for everybody else. And as we have heard from, you know, endless really not endless, but some very good, very targeted editorials from our local papers, from the Defenders, Virginia Defender newspaper, from advocates for our side, from around the country, from folks who have been involved in these kinds of development and historical preservation struggles before. You know, this idea is going to benefit those people who were initially involved in its investment. And that's really pretty much it. And what is probably the most exciting thing to have happen, it has been the Redskins training camp. We have been saying that to take the baseball stadium from the diamond, where it actually serves most of the people who attend those games because of its proximity to the highway and because of its proximity to the rest of this sports development that's gone on since the Siegel Center was built as part of VCU's campus further down Broad Street. They have developed this into a sports corridor, and that even the Siegel Center it was building onto the fact that Parker Field and then the Diamond were there. You had the Sports Backers Complex, which has been there for many years. So there was already sort of this trajectory towards developing this gateway to the city that was built on sports and entertainment, now that you're talking about the Bowtie Cinema going there. And of course, there used to be a drive-in movie theater in that area as well. So, you know, there's reason to develop that area in this sort of industrial, commercial, entertainment and sports a way. Now, taking that and moving it down to Chaco Bottom and completely, really eradicating, even though they'll say that, no, this is confined to this area by this area by this area. Well, we all know that simply because of the infrastructure challenges and because of the environmental challenges of that area, that this is going to be a massive invasive construction project. In order to address the stormwater issues, in order to address driving, in those small, narrow one-way streets, in order to accommodate people who still have to go to work down there, in order to accommodate the construction of this thing and the ancillary buildings that are going to go along with it, you're talking about a significant disruption of business that is there, as well as significant implications for what's going to be left for other people to develop. This is a small, concentrated, bottom of a valley kind of area. And it's really very interesting how the studies that have been referenced or, even though, okay, let me stop for a second. Let's take a breath. The mayor and the developers who were involved, and we're not sure who they were or are. They were once upon a time Highwoods Development. We don't know if some of those same people are involved. We know that Venture Richmond supports this idea. And we know that they have sort of taken a quiet kind of back step and have not said very much lately since some of the first editorials came out. But what we do know is that references in the past have gone to studies that say that these kinds of projects bring great economic development to an area. Well, we have been countering that with other studies that say categorically in the long run that heritage tourism brings more people to an area for much longer than a sports entertainment development. Not only that, there have been many recent examples of how these very projects have actually depressed the areas around them economically. The area around the Washington Nationals in Washington, D.C. The stadium that was built for the Richmond Braves in Atlanta has apparently not brought any of the business development to that area that they promised. And of course, they are proposing the same thing happen here in Chaco Bottom. But what I am most excited about, and I don't mean that in a mean way, I really don't, is the fact that we are now walking through the first, four weeks, maybe since the Redskins training camp opened, where they have had hundreds of thousands of people moving through that Redskins training camp. And yet, the existing businesses in that area, there is only one that has benefited directly. So there's only one business that I can recall from reading the stories about this that has actually directly benefited from the Redskins training camp being there, and that is McDonald's. McDonald's is McDonald's. Maybe it's a local franchise, but I'm sorry. That's one restaurant. And we're talking about dozens of restaurants that are in the immediate area with some really fine food. We are talking about, places to shop and buy things and stuff. And it's not happening. Not only are they not benefiting in terms of getting increased traffic, which we have seen some of these places actually prepare for. They've either added staff, they've added physical capacity to their places, anticipating these crowds who have come, but they're not coming. They're not shopping in the local businesses. It is not bringing economic boon to the area. And that is happening right now. And that was a project of this administration. And that was a product of one of these grand schemes where you had big investment dollars, went into it, swept everybody, all the opposition away by not saying anything until the day they signed the deal and started breaking ground, apparently made, false promises about how they're going to preserve the trees, these wonderful old trees back there, and, ripped them all out of the ground. And how we believe any of these promises anymore is really beyond me, because the practical reality of any of these kinds of developments is that they strip and then build. Housing developments, business development, corporate developments. There's a battle in Danville right now because there is a textile company that's coming in. It's not a U.S.-based company, and they want to build this, and it isn't that this area doesn't need these jobs, but they're coming up against the same thing where they've decided the tract of land, and they've decided, that it's an historic area, and there are people trying to preserve the foundations of historic buildings as well as a cemetery of enslaved Africans. And the developers there are saying that, and the city officials are saying that the only thing they can do is move the graves. The site isn't significant enough, so they're going to unearth bodies and move them so that they can lay out this factory development. Well, guess what? This is a big enough complex. Maybe you could redesign it. You know, you already earth move in order to make things work. So earth move, somewhere else and make these things work cooperatively. God, the opportunities for working cooperatively are the ones that seem to just evaporate and go away, because most of these kinds of development players will always say that you are cooperative when you give in. That's when you're being cooperative, when you let them do what they want to do and maybe give you a check on the side. And it's really frustrating. But at this point, at this moment, in being able to get up in the morning and either read the paper or listen to the radio or walk past the area where this Redskins training camp is and find out, and have it reaffirmed that the businesses in the area who were promised, in essence, that all of this was going to benefit them because traffic would drive people to their businesses, and we're finding that it's not so. One of the reasons it's not so is because most of these projects try to make themselves complete packages. They are the complete deal. You go, you can get your food, you can dine, you can sit in lovely areas, you have your experience with the game or with the sports, and then you can hang out because they've got gift shops and they've got areas for you to socialize. You have the complete experience while you're there. By the time you are done, you are not only broke, you're tired and you're going home. And that's exactly what will happen in Shaco Bottom. So not only are businesses going to disappear during the construction process, they are not going to recoup their investment in both patience and, reserves, because most of them are going to have to, those that might make it are going to make it because they either had the cash reserves or some way to sustain themselves while the traffic was, practically obliterated during construction. So, this is a concern. We talk about it from the historic preservation perspective, and we talk about it from, the defense of Black community, of Black history in this area. And that is one of, that is the core of our resistance to this project, that this is the wrong place for this. There are probably other places in the city where this kind of development could thrive, could do really well and not destroy existing resources and resources that have yet to actually be tapped into. And that's probably one of the most frustrating things about this in terms of history, in terms of identity, is that here you have so much that is untapped and yet ready to be tapped. And there is no two sites that exemplify that more. And I know that there's more. This is just the two that we have primarily been either working with directly or working near. And that is the Lumpkins Jail archaeology and the reclamation of our African burial ground just north of it. The Lumpkins Jail site is south of Broad near 15th Street and 16th Street, and the burial ground is on the north side of the Broad Street. The opportunities for learning, for coming together, for developing this area as a walkable, expandable, flexible, beautiful downtown area, something the likes of which we have not yet had and would completely eradicate the possibility of if we go forward with this project, is really kind of mind-boggling. There's a very narrow vision that's involved. And to that point, when we come back from the break, I want to let you know that there is another way to think about this site. Now, I know I've been iterating it quite a bit on this show, but we have, you know, something to start with to show you that can help you see that there is another way to look at this. So I want to sort of point that out to you, even as we go into talking about a couple other things and some of the things that will be coming up in the coming weeks on Defenders Live. So at this moment, I will go ahead and let you know that you are listening to the Defenders Live here on WRAR. It's 97.3 LPFM. It's Richmond's radio for the rest of us. And we really appreciate you tuning in, and you can learn more about the station at WRIR.org, as well as listen live stream to the show right there, and any other programming that our station offers you can catch via live stream on the website. And, of course, you can follow our show at defendersliveradio.blogspot.com and learn more about the organization and the newspaper, defendersfje.org. So I want to thank you for tuning in every week, and then I'm going to jump right back into it. Yeah, Shaco Bottom, the Diamond, the Redskins, the Braves, the Squirrels. It's very exciting. I always want to hand it to the Squirrels because I think they've got a better handle on what the baseball experience is supposed to be about. I don't know if the Braves got discouraged or tired or whatever it was, but the Squirrels brought a new fun, a recognition that baseball is supposed to be fun, that the whole experience is supposed to be fun. And so they were very patient, I think, and very generous in the way that they approached it. They came in, they said, we can make this fun. We'll bring some money to renovate the existing stadium. We'll make it work until such time as the, you know, new stadium is going to be constructed, which they were hoping would be within a couple of years, at least, you know, a solid plan would be in place for the renovation or construction of a new stadium. And, you know, so they're sort of sitting out there, not really being very committal about, you know, our position on this, but, you know, they're waiting. They would like a home. They'd like it to be in Richmond. They'd like to continue to bring, you know, what appears to be really fun baseball to Richmond and to its fans. And I've enjoyed the games that have been there, you know, and I'm sort of, you know, and I don't want to have to be, you know, heartbroken and saddened by not being able to attend games if they build it in Shaco Bottom. That would be really sad and really unfortunate, you know, if it wasn't, you know, just the front edge of a whole lot of emotion about, you know, how that will have been so destructive to a potential for Richmond to be a much smarter, brighter, and frankly, more beautiful city. Because, you know, the alternate ideas for Shaco Bottom involve parks, involve places for families to come and hang out and move from, you know, cultural attraction to cultural attraction, from history to the contemporary. It's really, you know, there are many, many other ways to think about it. I think a couple of times on the show before I've mentioned a website called the Project for Public Spaces. And it's a very interesting site in that that's what they talk about. They talk about the creation of public spaces for various uses and how they come about and what makes them work and what makes them fail. And so it's a great place to read papers and research and see projects that develop. I think one of the kind of cool ones that I'm not sure if it's been mentioned on the Project for Public Spaces, but it was, I think, talked about in this week's Style Weekly, and that was parklets. It's a mechanism for devising little teeny tiny parks in urban areas where they don't have them. And they look like urban parks. It looks like, you know, certain kinds of constructions of barriers and things that allow people to move freely within them and to, you know, to hang out, to socialize, kids to play. And it creates those spaces right there in the middle of an urban dynamic where you would think these spaces are not possible. And what I like about this site is that it offers insight into other ways of creating and expanding on what public spaces actually do for communities. And typically, they're about helping these communities thrive. So when I think about the different ideas that have come up over the years about how to develop Chaco Bottom, some of the best ideas have not been the gigantic, humongous footprints. The best ideas have been those that really were organically drawn from the people who live there or who come in with, you know, really lovely ideas. Some of them are traditional. Some of them are very forward-thinking. Some of them haven't been thought of before. But they come in and idea by idea, interaction by interaction, they create spaces that people want to be a part of. And so if you go to chacobottom.blogspot.com, you will see a tab that says alternate vision, counter proposal, alternate vision. And on that page, you will see a link to an idea that was first proposed in 2008. And it's presented there in order to give, viewers the opportunity to see on paper what an alternate vision looks like. In the years past, the only people who've been able to do that have been those who were promoting and developing the ideas for the stadium in Chaco Bottom. And so, you know, great attractive renderings of these ideas have been laid before us, and they look very impressive, and they look very, they look impressive. They look like they've thought through everything. They look like they know what they're doing. And, you know, in a sphere, they know what they're doing. They know very well what they are doing. And so it behooves us to come back with material that you can see also demonstrates that we are thinking about all of the dynamics that are involved in these development projects. And as the Redskins training camp has helped to illustrate right in front of people was, one, how an idea can sort of be raised, kind of like a meerkat sticking its head up, testing the air current for, you know, sense of danger, and then dropping back down into his hole, moving forward with the plan, and then popping up with it with the tunnels already dug and, just ready to put a sign out and say, open for business, come on in. Well, that's what happened, right, with the Redskins training camp. They mentioned it. They said, we're going to do it. They talked to people about, you know, how they were not going to, you know, damage this or eradicate that, or it was going to take into consideration all these things. And most of all, what they always say is that it's going to create jobs and it's going to develop the area economically. So now, you know, it has barely been 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks since they opened, and already the businesses are telling us that they're not seeing anything. Not only are they not seeing an increase, they are seeing a depression, a decrease in that business, and that is really a shame. But it's par for the course, unfortunately. And so, as I've described, we wanted to show people that there is another way to think about development for this area. And a couple of the questions that have come up in the course of thinking about that have been, for one thing, what's the big hurry? What is the big hurry urgency about developing this? Well, some would tell you it's about the squirrels and about the promises that have been made to get them a new stadium. Maybe that's part of it. But there's also the economic interest that are already in Chaco Bottom, the people who own these properties, and what they, and the fact that they have been hoping for the last 10 years to maximize on their investment in that property down there. So I think we're looking at some timelines there that we don't actually know all. And so rather than looking at what is really actually the smartest for that area, they're looking at the project that will turn that property over the most quickly and for the most gain up front. The long-term impact for this area is going to be the depression of business opportunity in that area and the loss of business for those who do are open now in Chaco Bottom. And that's really just the economic argument. And today will be one of the few days when I will spend this much time talking about this economic part of it, because it's a reality that's facing the businesses down there right now. And I think we really want to talk to them and say, you know, if you're looking after your long-term best interests, maybe you should think about how this is going to impact you and some smarter ideas, how restaurants and places have thrived. If you look in almost any urban community across the country, anywhere a park has been established and there was property that fronts the edges of that park system, those places have thrived. There's a public park in New York City where they ended up with, you know, four Starbucks on four corners facing it. Now, I'm not advocating that, believe me, because we have some spectacular local coffee shops and we want to support our local business. And that's what this is all about. It is local economic development from the economic perspective, and it is local cultural development from our perspective in terms of what will we lose if this project moves forward. I really want people to sort of pay attention. I want you to look at what's happening with this Redskins training camp, and all you got to do is transfer it to the bottom and the baseball stadium and what they are promising that will do in the bottom in an area that doesn't have anywhere near the traffic access and anywhere near all of what they are talking about that will make that thing work will have to be constructed. We cannot let people's electoral terms determine the priorities for what are going to be the long-term elements that make our city fantastic. There's a lot there. We are one uncomfortable town. and we need to, if not get comfortable, we certainly need to get clear in order to move forward. So our children have hope in this city, right? Actual hope in the city of Richmond for all of us, for all of our roles, and do it honestly. So on that note, I am going to... I'm going to close down Defenders Live for tonight, let you know that we are looking forward to interviewing Ann Creighton Zolar. She was one of the founders of the Department of African American Studies at the Virginia Commonwealth University, and she is going to be coming to the show in the coming weeks to talk to us about vitamin D deficiency as a social justice issue. So, thanks for tuning in. Remember, the website is shacobottom.blogspot.com and defendersfje.org, defendersfje.blogspot.com. All right, and we will talk to you next week. Remember to keep up the struggle and that kindness does matter. Thanks.